Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres kick off their three-game series against the Philadelphia Phillies. Not yesterday, but today. And our host, Annie Heilburn, knows that when something good happens in the show, it's usually due to other Padres employees. But when things get messed up, like yesterday, that's totally Blooper's fault. Not mine, but Blooper's.
Now you know, all right? Now you know. If anybody out there is watching, there's like a good trivia and all that.
Our other host is Kurt Bevacqua, who's really excited that yesterday's open wasn't correct because he wanted to catch all three games in Philly.
That's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to the series, because I want to see these guys.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Annie Heilbrun and Kurt Bevacqua.
Happy, happy Friday, everyone. Welcome into Padre Social Hour here in the Western Metal Supply Building at Petco Park. I'm Annie Heilbrun alongside the infamous Kurt Bevacqua. I can't say your name,
they
Kurt.
They finally put us together.
They finally put us together.
I wonder why it's taking so long. Blue, you have any idea? Was it your decision? If other people kept us apart? I mean, what's the deal?
You guys have such set schedules sometimes.
Like, what's our schedule?
You're my Friday guy. Annie hasn't been on a Friday this year, because, or she would have been with you.
Just call me Joe Friday from now on.
Are you buying it, Kurt?
Okay.
Are you buying that whole reasoning? So, we're iffy on it.
I'm big time iffy.
I think they were afraid of, like, we might just tear the place down. We might just go crazy, you know? I can't say your name now, Kurt, without saying Bevacqua.
That's good.
Okay.
Because you've listened to the
yes,
sorted.
Now I've seen that. I've listened to it enough that I just can't do it. So if you were listening to the intro to that show, I guess apparently now it wasn't Blooper's fault, he says. But yesterday they said that they were starting the three-game set in Philly. And really that wasn't true. They finished their Nationals set yesterday. But Blooper says it wasn't his fault. It was the fault of the man who makes those intros.
I tend to believe that.
Okay. Yeah. Blooper does a great job.
He made a mistake, and I should have corrected it, so it's partly my fault. But the initial mistake was not mine.
That's what happens when you work with somebody all year and they do such a good job. You just expect them to continue
to
do things.
Exactly.
You don't even check their work because always come through.
That's exactly right.
But we want to tell everyone, they didn't miss a game. They finished the Nationals yesterday. They took that little bus ride to Philly. What'd you ever think about those bus rides? Did you like those bus rides?
We took buses from between New York and Philly.
Okay.
It's a little further in L.A. Mm-hmm. between L.A. and San Diego.
And you just fall asleep?
When you're that far, there's no sense in going to the airport.
You can't really. It's just too close, too far. You're in that little weird spot where you just need to take the bus, right?
It's the best way to do it. I think it took us a little longer, too, like 3 hours one night.
Did your bus ever break down?
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
How about this? I-70.
Okay.
Landed in St. Louis. It's late.
Okay.
Raleigh Fingers is doing his usual stuff in the back of the bus. Getting on anybody that has ears.
Just messing with people?
Tonight he decided to get on, or that night, mm-hmm. he decided to get on the busy. The bus driver.
Okay. Maybe not a smart choice.
Mr. Bus Driver.
Okay.
Very large man.
And the guy that has to get you from point A to point B.
That's correct.
I mean, you really don't want to tick him off.
So, Raleigh started hollering things because the bus driver was not in a hurry.
Okay.
And it was probably 1:30-ish.
In the morning.
Yeah.
So just taking his
there
leisurely
wasn't a lot
time.
Of traffic.
Okay. So Raleigh wanted him to step on the gas a little.
Exactly.
Okay.
So one of his comments were that there was a dog going to the bathroom on the back tire.
Oh, my.
And that.
That set him off?
Right. And he continued to say, the bus driver didn't respond to anything he said. Until he continued time after time after time calling him Bussy.
Oh, no.
And he says, the bus driver finally says, my name's not Bussy, it's Robert.
Oh.
Over the PA.
I like
the
it.
Bus.
He's standing up for himself.
So they continued to call him Bussy. And I'm in maybe the fifth or sixth row because I'm the instigator. Like, I'm far enough back where I can hear what's going on back there. But also I can turn around and I can say things that the front can't hear, and then the back will holler something else.
So you're basically just making it making it worse. I mean, you're
exactly
okay. Great, just exactly. Set that straight.
So he continues to call Robert Bussy until Robert says, "If you call me Bussy one more time, I'm going to come back and I'm going to find out who's doing it."
Wow, Robert.
So there it was. I mean, that opened the door, and the scream from the back was, "Okay, Bussy."
Oh.
The bus came to a complete stop in the middle of I-70. He didn't pull over the side of the road.
Oh, God. This is classic.
He got out of his seat and started to the back of the bus.
And is everybody – but here's what I'm wondering before we even go on. Are the rest of your teammates just sort of like, oh, here we go again? Or are they reeling in, or are they
no,
just
– No, stuff like that doesn't happen.
Okay.
It just – to that extreme,
yeah.
It doesn't happen.
And, I mean, they all want to get to their hotel and go to sleep.
Correct.
Too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So the Dick Dent was the trainer. Ozzie Virgil got up, stopped the bus driver. Okay, guys, stop it. You know, turned around. That's enough. And the bus driver went back to his seat and had it. And then we were in another bus. This was in AAA where we ran into a bridge.
Just ran it.
The overpass.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The bus was higher than the allotted footage that it said on the thing, and the guy didn't see it.
That is not funny, but really funny. I mean, it's good no one got hurt and nothing happened, but I mean, what do you do then? You're like stuck. You got to like reverse and
no, actually,
I don't know what you do.
It made a lot of noise.
Oh, it just scraped?
I don't understand what the deal was there. Evidently, a bus shouldn't have been going under it. That's what I think.
This is why I'm going to love hosting with you, because you've got great stories that begin with one time Raleigh Fingers. I mean, that's just a great story, you know? Like,
well, Raleigh and Randy Jones were always instigators.
Yeah, I could see Randy Jones being big time on that. I could see you, though, too.
Oh, no, I was definitely in there.
Okay, yeah.
But I didn't want to sit in the back because
that's where
if you sat in the middle, you could do more damage.
Oh, good. You had a strategy, it sounds like. Fantastic.
Yep. And if the back got in trouble, you weren't a part of it because you were there.
So essentially, you know, you could throw them under the bus, so to speak. And you're like the angel in the middle that's, you know.
That was good. Perfect.
A little bit of a pun there. A little bit of a pun, Kurt.
I love it.
We have a lot to talk about. Before we do, I just want to point out that Taylor Swift, we didn't see her in the hallways like I thought we might walking in here. You know who's a big Taylor Swift fan? Austin Hedges.
Really?
Big Taylor Swift fan. He can almost recite every song, every word, he knows it.
Well, he must be sad that he's out of town.
I would think so. I would hope that he's, you know, hoping to have a good series there, but also thinking that he's probably missing out on a good concert. Actually, he could see her at another time.
I don't really think he's going to be thinking about Taylor Swift while he's behind the plate. But you never know.
He's been having a pretty good time behind that plate. I mean, what have you thought of his performance there lately?
He's done a good job.
Yeah, I think he's coming
really
along.
Has.
I think he's getting a little better there. I think he's coming into his own with some more confidence.
You know who else I'm watching? I'm liking what he's doing? Melvin Upton Jr.
Melvin Upton Jr. He is actually our Montalvo Smooth Play of the Game recipient because of his defensive plays yesterday. He had that catch and he had that throw at Harper. And we can wait. Blooper, it's up to you if you want to. Oh, let's go for it now. Okay, good. So he's got this great catch right here. I believe that was the first inning, runs into the wall. That's like the farthest place in center that you can get to.
And what about this?
The laser throw out Harper. Now, that was that two-run fifth, and he mitigates the damage, gets Harper right there. I mean, that's not easy to do. What do you think's tougher, that catch or that throw?
I think the criticism with this guy and continued
criticism
is he does stuff so smoothly that
See,
it almost looks like –
it's too easy.
He's not given 100%. I've been watching him really close. The first game he ever got in as a Padre, I jumped all over him.
Well,
because he scored from third base.
Yeah, I know. And he didn't seem like he was running fast enough.
That's exactly right. Good. So you do watch that.
Every once in a while I'll catch a game or two. But contrary to what other people might think, yes.
So I was all over him because I was a hustler. I had to give
100%.
Sure. I didn't have the ability that he has. I didn't have that smoothness, so I had to go for it. And I jumped on him, and I retracted that because I went back and I watched it, and it really wasn't his fault. It was the guy that was on deck not giving him the slide sign or the sign to hurry, and he thought he had plenty of time. But I've watched him in the outfield not give up on balls, but it gives you the idea that he's not giving 100% when a ball's hit over his head. You know what I think now?
What?
He knows whether or not he can catch a ball as soon as it's hit. Like this ball the other night, last night.
Yeah.
If there's a ball hit over his head and he knows he can't get to it, he just turns around and runs for it, knowing that he's not going to be able to get it.
Okay.
But any other ball, there's only been one play that's disappointed me a little bit, and it was back in the home series, or the home stand, where a ball hit about maybe 6 to 8 feet in front of him. And it actually got by him.
Okay.
If you remember during that last home stand. If you remember the plate, I know you remember that.
Yeah.
So it was I was a little frustrated with that, a little.
Do you think that was just kind of like a mental error?
No, I wanted to see him lay out for
it. Okay, got it. Because we've seen that, and we've seen that a lot with Will Venable, too, where he just lays out and he makes that stellar grab.
I need to see an outfielder lay out every once in a while.
Right.
And I know they're difficult plays, but when you're at that stage of the season where every game counts and every run is precious, you have to do things like that.
And sometimes that can fire up your teammates, too, right, as far as, like, if you make that effort, I guess, does that have an effect?
Absolutely it does. But then you look at the play he made yesterday. I mean, he comes up with that ball just smooth as silk.
Nothing.
And just throws it in his hand and comes and fires a laser beam to home.
He really does. Now that I think about it, he really does. He doesn't even have a look of exertion on his face.
I know.
He has this very calm look on his face. You're right. That just must be him. I mean, you watch it right here, and, you know, he's just got this no panic at all.
I know.
With
Melvin
Upton. It's no big deal.
But he put a little extra effort in it because you could see it the way his body turned after he threw the ball. And it was an excellent play. I mean, it really was. He just seems to know exactly where he is on the field and what's going on.
So you think he's almost playing smart like that, though, as far as if he knows he can't get it, I mean, he's going to go for it, but he just knows that he's not going to be able to make that one.
I think that's it.
Okay.
That's
interesting.
That's starting. Yeah. That's my opinion right now. It could change.
I think it's interesting. I think that it's great to point out, though, because people, especially on social media, have gotten on him for that, what's perceived as a lack of effort. And then you see those plays, and you actually see the way he's been playing this last homestand, this last month. I think ever since, ever since Will went to the Rangers and Melvin felt like with Jankowski coming up that, you know, this is a good time as any for him to show that he's worth his value over there in center field. And I think that it does come across sometimes like he is not maybe putting forth 100%. So it's a good thing to notice, and maybe that's just him.
If he doesn't throw that runner out, that's the representation that he's going to give the way he plays.
Yeah.
But it's not given less than 100%. I'm pretty convinced of that right now. And I really like the way he's swinging the bat. I like what he brings to the table as far as a complete type of a ball player. Being able to run, having an idea when he goes to the plate that, hey, I can lay a ball down every once in a while. I can bunt to get on base. I can take a ball. He squares around the bunt for the primary reason of taking a pitch. And sometimes when you do that to a pitcher, it kind of, you know, rattles him just real quick. And they might throw a ball that normally they're going to throw in the strike zone, but because you squared around a little bit, they don't do it.
Got him on edge a little bit.
And you're ahead ahead in the count. So he looks like he's thinking when he goes to the plate. And I've been watching him real close since he's been here. Anybody that's making $14 or $15 million and have had the kind of years, you wonder what made for that contract.
A fair assessment.
I'm starting to see it now.
A fair question. And I love that you're talking about this because, again, this has been a hot topic since the Padres acquired him with Kimbrel. That what exactly, where is his value? It's been, you know, he's had those tough years and he's being paid a lot, you know. And, and then you start to see some of these plays like he had last night. You go, wait a second, this is legit. Like, this guy is legit. He can help this team win. But again, that personality, and I don't know if anyone's, have you talked to him much?
Not too much.
He is who he is. How he looks on the field is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's very laid back. He's calm. He's laid back. And so I'm starting to think more and more, you're onto something here. That's just him. You know, it's not necessarily that he's not giving that effort, but he's a very laid back player or laid back guy in the sense of, like, you know, he's very quiet, soft spoken, good with his teammates and excited around them, but, you know, not like a big media guy or anything like that. Like, just kind of a chill guy in the clubhouse.
Yeah, there's quite a few guys on the team that are non-media guys You don't say, Kurt.
You don't say. That's a topic for later. I'm going to ask you about that for sure. I'm going to ask you about that. All right, we'll be back with some more. But join the Padres for Pedal at the Park, a radio telethon and cycling event on September 12th, benefiting Pedal the Cause and local cancer research centers. Participate in a one-hour cycling class on the field featuring a DJ, Padres game, post-party, and more. To register, visit padres.com/pedal. That's going to be a great event. Remember, you can join the conversation, hashtag PadresSH on Twitter or the chat, padres.com/social hour. We'll be right back with more Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the AMR studio, located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour here at Petco Park. It is a beautiful day in San Diego. It's a little soupy, a little hot, but nothing really to complain about. Right, Kurt?
I don't ever complain.
Oh, good. I like it.
Sure.
I like it.
That's a lie.
I don't ever complain except on days ending with Y.
Exactly.
Something like that. All right, we're going to be joined right now by Jesse Agler. We're going to put him on the Cholula hotline. Jesse's calling the radio broadcast. Of course, he is the great host of Padres Social Hour when he's not on the road, but he's been on the road lately doing TV and radio, which has been pretty cool for him.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to welcome in Jesse right now. Jesse, how's everything going?
Outstanding. Thank you, guys. Nice to be with you, and hello to everybody back home.
What's up, Jess? So pregame, postgame with the cheesesteak?
Postgame.
Postgame, okay.
I love it.
I'm good with that.
I'm a Pats guy, if anybody's curious, so that's probably my direct stop right after tonight's game, which is hopefully a Padre win.
Yeah, and quick.
And quick.
Yeah, no, that would help. That would help.
What were your takeaways?
But hey, man, it's baseball. Sorry.
No, you're good, Jesse. What were your takeaways from the Nationals? I mean, they had that great game on Wednesday. Last night didn't go as well as they hoped, but what were some of your takeaways from there?
Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting few days, obviously. And, you know, the Nationals are having their issues, but they're also a good team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a pretty nice measuring stick kind of series. And the Padres hung with him. Kemp getting hurt certainly doesn't help. And he's not in the lineup again today, as I'm sure you guys have talked about. So that definitely changes a bunch of stuff for Pat Murphy and for the Padres. But I don't know. My sense is, you know, the starting pitching is where it starts. And I think that's kind of been the case for the Padres almost all season. And it's not just about, you know, how many runs and hits you give up or how many strikeouts you get to. It's trying to go deeper into games, because at this point in the season, there is no doubt that this bullpen is pretty well packed. And you would love to see a start, you know, where the starting pitcher goes into the eighth inning or even completes the eighth, and obviously a complete game would be the ideal situation. Ian Kennedy, who goes tonight, probably been the best starter the last however many times through the rotation for the Padres. He's just been great in the second half. He's got the 2-something ERA, mm-hmm. you know, I think since the All-Star break. So maybe and hopefully tonight is the night because the bullpen is really, really taxed. And this isn't the easiest place to pitch, and the Phillies have young bats. Their issue is pitching also. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, Kennedy, again, probably the best Padres pitcher right now when you consider current form and coming to a place that's really difficult to pitch in.
So speaking of the bullpen, I heard a rumor today that Kimbrel, probably isn't a rumor, heard that Kimbrel was put on waivers and pulled back.
Yes.
Do you think there might have been a deal made for him and the right ball club didn't get to him in the waiver situation?
I mean, there's literally no way to know, so I'm not going to
speculate that?
A guess. Yeah. But, you know, I saw the report. I think, you know, look, we all know that it is extremely routine for veteran players to be placed on revocable waivers in the month of August around baseball. And it's guys that, like Brian Howard, maybe a team would love to move, but it's also guys that teams would literally never move. They just do it. You know, it's sort of a habit. It's a practice. It's something that all clubs do. So I wouldn't necessarily read into it, you know, to be honest. You know, obviously, you do it, and if it comes into a situation where there's an offer you can't refuse, well, okay. But we'll have no way of ever knowing if that was the case with Craig Kimbrel. My gut says this was just another routine example of a veteran guy, you know, with a pretty decent contract being placed on waivers in the month of August. And the key thing, as with all of these guys, of course, is that the team can pull him back and hold on to him. And that's obviously, here's what happened.
Jesse, I saw that Matt Kemp may be available to pinch hit tonight. Did you get that sense? And how tough do you think it's been for Kemp? I know he's someone who likes to play. Pat Murphy's probably been having to convince him that, you know, he needs to rest a little.
Yeah, I heard the same thing, that he was probably available today. to be able to come off the bench. Murph had a great line yesterday, and I'm pulling it up on my computer so that I don't mess up the quote because it was really, really funny. He said with Kemp, how to get Matt Kemp to take a day off, right? He goes, first you tell him, then you convince him, and then you hold him back. And that's sort of, I think, what Pat Murphy has had to do these last couple of days. Think about this. When Kemp hurt the shoulder the other day, 2 games ago in Washington, he finished the game. He didn't come out of the game.
Right.
So I think Pat Murphy and the trainers didn't even know necessarily what had happened until after the fact when he went to go get some treatment on it. So, you know, Kemp, he likes to play. How many games did he miss before this? Like 1 or 2 all season, right? That's it.
Yeah.
He's been playing basically every single day, and he wants to play every single day. So, yeah, no, I don't think it's easy for Pat Murphy to keep him out of the lineup. But obviously, you know, he's trying to do the medically responsible thing by doing that. And, yeah, it sounds like he might be available to pinch hit if the situation so dictates tonight. And Murph also said he wouldn't be surprised if Kemp were able to start a game, you know, later on in the series, whether that's tomorrow or Sunday is something we'll find out.
He got hurt, and then he hits the 2-run double.
I know.
Right, Jesse?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy.
So, Jess, Jankowski at the top of the lineup, do you think he's ready for it? And what's your take on Spangenberg hitting second opposed to down in the lineup, which takes a little more pressure off of him?
Yeah, that was kind of the idea yesterday, right? They were going with the lightning bug thing at the top of the order in Washington.
The little lightning bugs
probably,
up there.
Yeah, exactly, with Jankowski and Spangenberg. And look, Spangy scored both runs that the Padres scored last night out of that two-hole. So, you know, that's certainly something to think about. You know, I've gotten to know Travis Jankowski a little bit. You know, we had him on Social Hour last week. I talked to him for the pregame show on radio during this trip. And my sense is he's not going to be overly stressed out by batting leadoff. And he's back in the 9-hole tonight. You know, everything's kind of shuffled around with Kemp on the bench. And I get certainly what Pat Murphy is doing is saying, hey, look, the kid's only been up in the big leagues for a week. You know, batting a 9, take some pressure off. I'm fine with that. I totally get that. I've got no problem with it whatsoever. But I think if and when the time comes that he's going to be the sort of regular leadoff guy, whether that's later this season or maybe next year, who knows, I just don't think it's going to be something that bothers him. He seems pretty unflappable. He seems like a good professional, you know, kind of baseball player that isn't going to get freaked out by that kind of responsibility. So I get what they're doing, but I'm not worried about Jankowski in the leadoff spot, I guess is what I'm saying.
Kurt, I don't know if you've do you follow? I'm sure you follow Jesse on Twitter. I don't know how often you're on Twitter, Kurt.
I follow Jesse as much as
I can. Okay, good. And I love when Jesse gets upset because I won't say upset. Is upset the right word, Jesse? When the umpires, when they won't explain, they don't explain the calls, they don't explain what's going on, and everybody's just left in like this mysterious vacuum of not knowing why a certain thing went a certain way, right, Jesse? I mean, it's got to be as frustrating for you when you're calling the games too, to understand sometimes what's in their heads.
Yeah, it's a major pet peeve of mine. And here's the reality of the situation. And I know I've ranted and raved about this probably too many times. I got to get it under control, if we're being honest. But as long as we're talking about it, the situation is that you're doing a disservice to the fans. And whether it's the fans who are at the ballpark or the fans on television, they matter more than anybody else. None of this exists without the fans. And to treat the fans with the kind of contempt that baseball is treating them by not thinking that they're worthy of an explanation of something that's going on, I think is delusional for Major League Baseball. The most important thing is that the people who are paying to watch or attend the games know what's going on. And to make this sort of assumption that everybody's going to figure it out is crazy, because sometimes these are really complicated rules, and on replay sometimes, like in Colorado a couple weekends ago, right? We see a replay 5 times. Austin Hedges clearly tagged DJ LeMahieu's foot, and then they say he's safe. So at least have the decency to say, hey, in New York, they didn't think because of this that he was out. Just give people something to chew on, and don't just ignore it as if, like, all I have to do is make a hand signal, safer out, and everybody can move on. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's respectful to the fan base. And as you said, from a broadcasting standpoint, with some of these more complex things, they leave us in the booth guessing, which is a really terrible position to be in. You know, Mark Grant, Dick Enberg, Ted Leitner, Bob Scanlon, like, these guys are baseball experts, and they have seen and in some cases played for dozens and dozens of years of professional baseball. We're all pretty good with the rule book, but the rule book is, you know, a very intricate thing in baseball, and you think in a certain play, oh, rule 4.13 applies, but then you find out 3 hours later, well, no, actually, it was rule 7.26 that the umpires invoked in this situation. So it doesn't do anybody any good for the broadcasters to kind of guess try and figure something out. Just say, hey, under rule 7.26B, this is why the guy is out, or this is why we moved him back to second base, or whatever it is based on the situation. I think it's an incredibly easy thing to do, and I can't for the life of me understand why Major League Baseball doesn't do this. In today's day and age, with all the instant information that's out there, you shouldn't be just waiting maybe for an umpire to talk to one newspaper reporter after the game to find out what happened 2 or 3 or 4 hours earlier. I just think that's a great disservice to the fans.
Well, you know how I feel about the umpires, Jess. There's 5 or 6
of them. I have an inkling.
Yeah, they need to make some changes. They need to make changes in the replay system. They need to have different people than the umpire crew that's off that week back in New York. They need to have baseball experts that look over the video and not umpires that are going to protect one another. When the play's too close to call, they don't make a decision and they got to go with the original call, even if it's wrong, like the play at home plate with Hedges.
Right. Here's you know what? At the beginning of the year, I would have disagreed with you, honestly. I would have said, no, I trust the umpires. I have the faith and the confidence in the umpires. They're going to try and get the call right because that's the most important thing. But this year, traveling around baseball and seeing some of the things I've seen, I'm telling you, less and less people are willing to give them that benefit of the doubt. So maybe there is something to having someone other than just an off umpire working at the Replay Center in New York.
Finally listening to me, Jess. I love it.
And Kurt, we can continue this. And I have to say, Jesse, I think that is a good campaign stance. I say go Jesse for commissioner on that and use that whole platform on that thing.
I think a lot of people would agree with him. And I'll tell you this. I have great confidence that Rob Manfred, I think he's a proactive guy,
mm-hmm.
and I think he's going to be able to make these kinds of changes over the course of the future. That said, we did see Joe Torre in Washington, and he walked past me, and I can't tell you how close I came to just grabbing him, being like, can I have 30 seconds to try and tell him my idea? But I decided it wasn't the time or place.
I love it, Jesse. We appreciate having you on the Cholula Hotline, and I think that your stance on it is how a lot of people feel about it, so thank you for letting us hear that out, and have fun there in Philly.
Thank you, guys. Great to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
You too, Jesse. I like it. We can talk about that more after the break, but he has a point there. You know,
I've got my mouth watering right now. Because I know he's having a patch cheesesteak.
You've been on the cheesesteak since the conversation started, and that's where you've been the whole time.
I know,
love it.
They're so good.
All right, Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Someone bring Kurt a cheesesteak. We'll be right back after the break with more Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. We are getting ready for Game 1 of the Padres-Phillies series. The Phillies unfortunately swept the Padres when they were here at Petco Park, so maybe some redemption, maybe some give it to them in Philadelphia.
The Chase Utley-less Phillies.
What are you going to do, you know? Hey. What are you going to do?
They got to go in and play good baseball against these guys and come home winning.
Yes.
They got to win at least 2 out of 3. I mean, it's a 500 road trip. It's not something you want this time of year,
right?
Especially when you're in the situation they're in. I mean, they're closer to winning the division than they are getting in the wild card.
I agree. They've actually gotten further along in the division, I think, than where they'd be in the wild card. And I mean, they've taken 8 of their 12 series since the All-Star break. They've obviously playing better.
They are.
It's still kind of a road. You still have to, you know, make a climb here if they're going to get into the postseason. But
it's big time.
Yeah.
But the good thing about it is that they get to play the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the bad thing about it is they haven't played great against them this year. The good thing about it is the Giants also play the Dodgers, and the Dodgers cannot beat the Giants. And the Padres also play the Giants, who they played very well. So if the Giants can knock off the Dodgers,
yes,
the Padres can somehow go into a series against the Dodgers and win the series.
I like your logic there. So you're – yes, because I want to say I think that the Giants are – was it 2 games under? I need to check the standings. But if they can – so if they can get past the Dodgers, yeah. They're 2.5 games back. So if they can get past the Dodgers, then you're saying when the Padres play the Giants, they can have some – maybe get past – maybe make some headway.
They play
maybe
better against
up.
The Giants
yes.
than they do the Dodgers. If they can somehow figure out a way to play good baseball against the Dodgers between now and the end of the year, which I kind of expect them to do, because the ball club's playing much better now. They were Jed Jerkerless when the Dodgers were here
and
last
he's
night.
He's having a much better
he's
second
He's doing
half.
Much
right.
better. Melvin Upton Jr.'s looking good.
Matt
we've
Kemp.
We've got some younger kids on the team that are going to get excited. The blood's going to flow when that series happens. There's going to be some good testosterone on the field, especially with the younger kids. So it's going to be an enjoyable time, and it's coming up. So I'm really looking forward to it.
As opposed to some bad testosterone
and
on
then
the
you've, exactly. And then you've got Kershaw and Greinke. I mean, I, you know
what?
Greinke, the more I see about, with that guy, the more he impresses me.
I saw he had 10 shutout games this season, or and on MLB they were saying that that's more than I think the Padres and the Yankees have had as a whole, as a team. I mean, the guy is just – he is who he is. He's stupid good.
He
yeah,
really
I mean,
is.
And there's just not much else you can say about that.
So if I'm going to start a team right now, I got Greinke and Madison Bumgarner. And Madison Bumgarner really wasn't that impressive at the beginning of the year. But you know what? The days he's not pitching, I'm going to put him at first base.
There you go.
He can hit.
What do you think has been working for the Padres? As far as just do you think that they've just been able to gel more? Do you think that definitely the additions of Spangenberg coming back and Jankowski, I think, coming up even helps, just having that little spark and those younger players some speed. But what else do you think has been working for them as far as the second half goes?
Well, the bullpen certainly helped. They came around a little bit. Guy started hitting the ball. I think Jed coming back and doing the job that he did.
Yeah.
You know, there were guys in it. You know, Justin started hitting the ball again. Matt Kemp has picked it up since the All-Star game. So he, or even before the All-Star game, he started swinging the bat much better. And, you know, as it goes, as Matt goes, the Padres
go.
And that's really the way it's kind of been this year.
Correct.
Even with Justin really being the leader more so than Matt, when both of those guys are swinging the bats well, this is a really, really, really good ball club.
Yeah, that's when you see some magic happen. Mm-hmm. And you see them kind of go on more of a consistent run. And I think that's also been a big part of it. Now, you know, you see games now where the pitching is consistent, the batting is consistent, the defense is consistent, where before we were just getting one day the hitting would be good, and then the next day the pitching would be bad, and then, you know what I mean? It was just all over the board. And
it
so now it seems
inconsistent.
To be working. Yeah, exactly.
It was, and, you know, we're disappointed in the way James Shields has thrown the ball his last five, six, seven starts. Ian Kennedy, on the other hand, has thrown the ball very well his last number of starts that he's had.
2.19 ERA in August. Cashner, too, another one that just hasn't had the kind of season. Obviously, hasn't had the run support in a lot of games either. I think they had three hits last night, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. But just hasn't had the season, really, that I think that he was hoping for.
Not when you're, what, 5-14?
Yeah,
is that what
something like
record?
That.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, if somebody told me he was going to be have that record at the beginning of the year, I would have said, okay, we can bet anything you want, and I'm going to win. And it's just nuts with the stuff that he has. But you watch
great
him
stuff.
In that game yesterday, just can't make the pitches that he made. The 0-2 or 1-2 pitch to Harper in that key inning, you can't throw
inning.
That ball out over the plate when the catcher's setting up inside. You just can't.
Yeah. And that's what kills you is you have those four shutout innings, and you've got that rough fifth, like you said, where everything kind of fell apart. And then they need him to stay in the game because they don't want to tax the bullpen. So you're just getting to some jam there. So
when the catcher's set up inside, you have to, a left-handed hitter, you have to miss in.
You can't
you
miss
don't
out.
Miss on the other side.
Can't miss there.
And the quicker he learns that, and I'm hoping he's getting a crash course in it because it's happening. You know, it started out the year with Gonzo in L.A. I mean, every single one of those pitches he missed out over the plate when Adrian hit three home runs off of him in that one game.
And that's gonna be the difference maker.
That's
so
what happens.
All right, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We will be right back with more Padres Social Hour. You can join the conversation, hashtag PadresSH, or Padres.com/Social Hour, and Kurt's going to go run and find Taylor Swift in the break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Oh, Kurt, hey, we were talking about all of those players that have made positive strides in the second half, and one that we forgot, and I'm upset we forgot because he's the El Nino, is Solarte. And here was Solarte, been having just a good run there. And obviously,
well, there's no sense
producing
in talking about him because he's been doing good from the beginning.
The whole year. Thank you. That's a great one. Mickey Koch brought that in. Don't forget Solarte.
No, no, not at all.
He said. And so I think that's a great point, though, is this guy has really been good for the Padres this season, and someone who I feel like if they didn't have, they'd be so much worse off record-wise. You know, he's come through time and time again, and he's also been able to play different positions.
Oh, he's filled some definite needs for this ball club when they needed it the most. I mean, you know, they were hurting at third. What are they going to
exactly.
do? You know, Will Myers would have ended up over there if it wasn't for Solarte. So I tell you what, if you compare the numbers in the Chase Headley deal for Solarte, they're almost exactly the same.
Very interesting.
He has the same numbers as Headley does over in New York.
What's your you're saying?
Chase, there was so much. I love Chase Headley. There's so much talk about the MVP type of season that he had the second half of 2000.
And you're looking at what Solarte's doing and saying, hey, he's been the guy all season. He's been doing just as well.
Sure.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah.
He has. No, I agree with you. There was a lot of talk about Chase Headley and what his abilities were or are. And you look at Solarte and someone who's come in and filled a role just as well as Chase Headley could have in that time.
You can't expect somebody to keep up a complete season of 320 or 330 with 40-plus home runs and 120-plus RBIs when they only did it for a half the season, and that's as good a ball as they've ever played.
Exactly.
You really can't.
Well, and let's point out, too, that Solarte, he costs less. They've been able to make some other additions with him.
Everybody was griping and moaning about not trying to sign and Chase to a long-term deal and keeping him in San Diego, or there was talk where people wanted to do that and keep him in San Diego, and it would have cost you $15 million a year, maybe 20.
And you're able to bring in Solarte, who's been able to do what the team needs, give the team what they need, and also for a lesser cost.
Where do you see the numbers that are going to go for Justin Upton this winter?
Oh, I don't even want to know. You know what? I've been thinking about this. I really have. No, I've been thinking about this.
You want him to stay low so we can sign
him? Well, it's like I think a lot of Padres fans would say, well, Justin, you know, maybe if you just slump a little. Well, you don't want him to slump. Because the Padres are still in. The Padres still, like you said, if things could go in their favor. So, no, you don't want him to slump. But there is a hope amongst fans that, they're going to be able to sign him and I mean, maybe make a few million less, Kurt. Is that such a big deal? He's already making a lot of money. I don't know.
a few million when you got a multi-year contract, which it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be 5-6, maybe with another year as an option. A few million a year add up to 10 or 15 million.
It does. It does. You don't – I mean, you want the guy to – I like Justin Upton. You want him to get his money. He's earned his money and all that good stuff. But there is a sense of, gosh, wouldn't it be great? And you never know. The Padres – they might be able. They've been able to pull rabbits out of hats
no
before.
Doubt about
so
that.
you don't know what's going
to
happen.
Just want him to know that we enjoy watching him play baseball
Absolutely.
Every day.
And he's a great clubhouse guy. I mean, he's a great addition to the team. He's someone that is very much a glue piece of the team. That his intangibles a lot of times, not just what he does on the field, but the way he conducts himself, the way that younger players watch him in his routine, and the way that he goes about his business, I think, is also a benefit.
If you would have watched, if you would have seen, I would imagine a lot of people, especially that watch this show, probably looked at it very, very closely. The day he hit Yonder Alonso with the helmet, if you saw his reaction.
He was so upset.
And listened to him afterwards. That's the kind of guy he is.
Absolutely.
And when you can get a guy that's got that he's that kind of a man and can also put a team on his back, you got to love having that guy around.
And cares. He really does. I mean, I know that whole helmet incident no one thought it was going to go that way when he tossed the helmet, but the look on his face just instantaneously was
well,
a
it
concern.
Actually slipped out of his hand, I think.
It did. No, it did. It did. I don't know.
It's
whatever.
Just terrible. It's over.
It's over.
It was cool.
But
I talked to Yonder
about it.
The point
being that he cared. Yeah.
I talked to Yonder about it a couple of days after. I wanted it to cool off for a couple of days. And I told him, I go, the best part about it was the next day when you showed up in catcher's gear.
And the catcher's gear was awesome. And that also just shows you they put it past him.
That's
you know,
exactly
those sorts
right.
of things happen. You put it past you and you come together as a team. So it was all good.
Because he destroyed the bubble gum in the dugout that day. Yonder did. He was upset. And for good reason.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to throw some buckets. There, what are you going to do? I like to throw some buckets every once in a while. All right.
I don't want to.
If there were some buckets in here, I think to blooper, put some in here. I'll give you a little show. Blooper's not even looking. All right, looking for paradise. Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park at Park at the Park or the Mercado, also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Stay right here. We'll have more Padres Social Hour. Make sure you can tweet us at hashtag PadresSH and Padres.com/Social Hour for the chat. We'll be right back after the break.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Beautiful Friday afternoon. The Padres getting ready for game one against the Phillies. They are there having, probably not having cheesesteaks as we speak, but they're there.
No, they're getting ready for the game.
Maybe cheesesteaks later, yeah. You don't really want a cheesesteak then. Hey, time for the lineup. Speaking of the game, and the lineup, as always, is presented by United Airlines. United Airlines, proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Kurt, you've got Melvin Upton Jr. leading off. What do you think?
I kind of like it.
Okay.
I think he's got the capabilities of being a leadoff guy. I think he's got the experience. It's not that I wouldn't like to see Jankowski or Spangenberg. Actually, Spangenberg, the least amount of. I'd rather see him down in a lineup. He seems to do much better when he's down there. But I think Corey will work his way into a situation where he's going to be able to hit up into the lineup and do well. But Travis Jankowski, I think we're all looking forward to watching him play some baseball the rest of the year.
Do you like him in the ninth spot and Melvin Upton in the leadoff, and so you kind of have like a nice little 1-2 punch there maybe?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I like him in a nice spot because he did well there.
He did.
And as soon as he moved, even though, you know, he didn't get a hit.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me because those games are going to happen. Been there before. I know about that. But I just like the fact that he was doing well. And I think when you put a lineup out there and it wins, mm-hmm. I put the same lineup out there the next night.
And Jerko at shortstop. So, and he's been doing fine right there. So, hey, what do you know?
I just can't get it my mind.
It's hard to grasp. It's hard for you to wrap your mind around.
I don't know why.
Well, I think it's just none of us expected it. It's just a it shows just the shuffle they've had at shortstop.
No, it's not that.
Okay.
It's just looking at him.
Ah, he just doesn't have that body type. Right, okay.
To me.
All right.
If he was 20 pounds lighter, he'd be good.
Got it.
I just can't wrap my arms around that Jed Jerko body at shortstop. There's nothing wrong with his body. He's good. It's just that.
The best part of this show is there's nothing wrong with Jed Jerko's body. You're fine, Jed.
He's just not a shortstop body.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you for that. I think you're onto something there. It's just a little funny. You don't register it right away. But as long as he makes the plays, we don't care.
Don't, absolutely.
Exactly.
I can get used to it if he makes the plays.
Okay, good. All right, we're calling all midshipmen. Join the Padres on September 2nd for Naval Academy Night and get a Padres hat in Naval Academy colors. Enjoy a night of baseball as the Padres face the Rangers at 7:10 p.m. Only tickets purchased through Padres.com/Naval Academy will include a themed Padres hat. Hats are limited, so get your tickets now. There's nothing wrong with your body, Jed Jerko. I love it. We'll be right back with more Padres Social Hour right after the break.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Annie Heilbrin here with Kurt Pivacqua, and we've almost survived the hour without setting the place on fire.
We did.
We're doing really well.
We've done well.
I've enjoyed it. I've had fun. I have a lot of questions for you that I didn't have time to get to about like the days that you played versus playing now, and we just didn't have time. So hopefully we get matched up again sometime in the future.
I'm sure.
And I
want
to ask you all those. Okay, time for the head-to-head challenge, the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. This is, of course, where the couch picks a player, Blooper picks a player, and whoever has the better game gets the point. And Blooper always tells me who's first, but I forget.
It's me.
It's Blooper. Blooper, you pick first.
Solarte.
El Nino. Kurt.
Who's pitching tonight?
Kennedy.
It's a no-brainer. Ian Kennedy.
Kennedy's been doing very well. Solarte's been doing very well. It's a good matchup right there.
Yep. All right.
Going with Solarte. I like that.
Yeah, I don't like the matchup as far as the other pitcher because he did well against his ball club. So hopefully they learned from the first time they faced Aaron Nola here.
Yes.
And he beat him.
And he's coming off a good stint against the Marlins, 8 shutout innings there, so he's on a little bit of a roll. So
he is.
We've got to see him happen. All right, at Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. For Kurt, Nikki, Seth, and myself, enjoy the game, everybody.